The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
It's Ask the Lawyer with Mike Connors. Got questions concerning elder or estate law? Attorney Mike Connors has the answer. He's been recognized as one of New York's top lawyers by New York Magazine and brings nearly 40 years of experience to the table. His office number is 718-238-6500. That's 718-238-6500. Here's Mike Connors.
We are gathered here on hallowed ground. Horses raised, heads bowed down. We'll gather here on hallowed ground to sing this old way.
Welcome to Ask the Lawyer with me, Mike Connors. This show is in a couple of parts. Sometimes we talk about, you know, film in some respect, like last week when we were talking about Cabrini and politics, history. Today we're going to be talking about charities, Catholic charities in specific. And, you know, we start talking a little bit about estate planning. And as you know, the show's about estate planning and elder law. The idea behind estate planning is to pass assets from one generation to the next, paying the least amount in taxes we need to pay legally, avoiding going through court, avoiding probate, and as far as elder law is concerned, trying to save assets from nursing home bills. Today we're going to be talking to the director of Catholic Charities in Brooklyn and Queens, and hey, we're Brooklyn guys, so Brooklyn and Queens, Monsignor Alfred Lapinto. With us, as you usually know, we have one of our attorneys, and this week we're privileged to have Justin Daly, who doesn't deign to appear with us too often. Welcome, Justin.
I thank you for allowing me on the show today.
What do you mean, allowing you on the show? You're always too busy to be on the show.
Well, somebody keeps me busy, so.
All right, now we're going to be talking to Monsignor Lapinto about charitable giving, but you came up with an idea. For those people who want to do some charitable giving and they have retirement plans, so you want to summarize this?
Yeah, there's an interesting little vehicle. It's called a qualified charitable distribution that's available to IRA owners now. It's up to $105,000 in a given year. You can actually take from your IRA, if you're over 70 and a half, you can take a distribution and give it directly to a charity. You have to check with your plan's administrator. But, yeah, you can give up to $105,000 now in an annual year. Married couples, you can actually double that, so $210,000. It does not work for 401ks. If you want to do it, if you have a 401k, you'd actually have to roll that over into an IRA to be able to take advantage of this. But, you know, for that client who's out there who wants to give to charities, but also might want to, you know, take advantage and reduce their tax footprint, it's a great thing to do.
Yeah, and you know, you might say, well, why don't I do that? Why don't I just take the money out of the IRA and, you know, then I get a charitable deduction. But this way, there's no, depending on your income levels and things like that. And, of course, a lot of people now with the very high standard deduction, you don't really get the benefit of giving money to charity. So this is a way where the money comes out of the IRA. You don't pay income tax on it. It just goes because, and then the charity, if it's, properly recognized charity, they're not going to pay income tax on it. And, of course, one of the things you can do, let's say, in an estate situation in some cases, let's say somebody's got an estate, let's say they have nephews and nieces, and they've got a $1 million estate. and they want to leave $500,000 to their nephews and nieces and $500,000 to charity. Well, if you can use a plan like this, something like this, and let's say that same person has a $500,000 house or and a $500,000 retirement plan, well, then the way you would structure it better is to leave the retirement plan to the charity, because the charity doesn't have to pay, you know, income tax on the distributions from the IRA, and you leave the house to your nephews and nieces, because capital gains taxes right now are wiped out by death, and so that the nephews and nieces are not going to pay taxes on it. And, you know, this comes up, and we probably should spend a little bit more time on it, but right now in New York State, the New York State estate taxes, if you're under $6,941,000, you do not have to pay an estate death tax. And if you're married and your spouse is alive, we can double that exemption very easily to $6,941,000 times two, or let's just use even numbers, $14 million. So if you're in that ballpark, you may want to do some planning. And the problem is, if you have a net $7 million estate, your heirs are paying $286,000 in taxes. So going back to our example, let's just say for the sake of argument, a $200,000 gift to charity can save your heirs over $300,000 in taxes, which it sounds strange, but it's really true.
And a lot of people don't realize, and I find it all the time where we're talking about, because so many people, the especially our Brooklyn and Queens clients, the big asset of the estate is the house. And we spend so much time talking about the stepped up cost basis that they're going to receive when they inherit the property from their parents, or when we tell the parents that your kids are going to inherit this tax free, that we don't talk enough about the tax deferred accounts, the IRAs, the 401ks, because people forget those are growing tax free. Just you've never paid tax on it. And so when those distributions come to your kids in the future, it's going to be taxed. It's going to be taxed. And people a lot of times are under the false impression that, oh, no, inheritance isn't taxed. Well, guess what? It's never been taxed before. So those IRAs, those 401ks, when you receive your inheritance, that distribution will finally be taxed.
Unless you've converted it to a Roth IRA, which is a discussion for another day.
Exactly, yeah. And so, but if part of your plan, I mean, there's a lot of clients out there that want to give to charity, and you know, this is a great vehicle to be able to pass on that, you know, that contribution that you want to make to the charity without having to, you know, get hurt tax wise. And especially now, again, as you point out, that standard deduction's much higher. It's a lot harder to itemize, so people aren't, you know, taking the distribution and then giving to charity. You're not going to see those tax benefits. Whereas if you're doing this QCD, you will. You will, because the distribution goes directly. Again, you have to make it through your plan administrator, but then you make it directly to the charity from the plan.
And, you know, talking about estate taxes, right now the federal amount is like $13,600,000. It's tax-free. One warning, and I'm almost getting tired of the sky is falling type of people, but that law, in theory, expires 2 years from now, basically January 2026. So we don't know what the estate taxes are going to be on any level. I don't think New York is going to lower its estate tax, because I think there are at least a few people with some brains in New York that in government that realize that they're losing rich people to Florida. Because go to the example I just gave. Let's say you have a $10 million estate. You're a New York resident. You're single, because there's no tax between husband and wife. But let's say you're a New York State resident. You're single. You got a $10 million estate. You leave $10 million to your kids. Your kids pay $1 million in taxes. That's what the tax law is right now. That same person moves to Florida. Children pay zero in taxes. So I don't think New York's going to make it worse. I think there's enough people with brains knowing we're losing too many citizens from New York to Florida, and that's one of the reasons. I mean, listen, you got $10 million. It's just as easy to spend a few more days in your Florida home than your New York home and not have your children pay the taxes. And you know, and that's part of what we're doing, Connors and Sullivan. We don't want you guys to pay taxes. Now, Justin, you deal a lot with real estate. Can you explain some of the things, like if somebody's selling the house, what they should think about as far as capital gains taxes and whether avoiding paying them for now or maybe you keep your house or what you can do if you have an investment property on 1031 exchange?
Yeah, of course. First of all, I mean, unfortunately, we have to give the advice. It's sometimes it's not the easy advice, but it's always best to hold on to that real estate so that you inherit it, that the kids inherit it from the parent. Because when you get that step, especially here in this area where we've had, you know, only in the, you know, the 70s and early 80s, these houses were worth only 100,000. Now they're worth well over a million, you know, and 30,000 back in the 70s. So the easy advice for us to give a lot of times is, you know, hold on to the property. Then when you pass away, your kids will get a full stepped up cost basis, and then they're not paying taxes when they sell it. But in certain circumstances, we have to sell these properties, unfortunately, for different reasons. Changing neighborhoods, it's hard to hold on, it's hard to manage these properties. Unfortunately, the city has made it just intolerable to be a landlord these days. So where the people could have held the properties, kept some tenants in there, it's just untenable. So more and more people are just choosing to sell these houses. And when they're held for, especially 2-3 families that are held for investment property, we can do a 1031 exchange. That's where you can sell a property and buy another one. That's not optimal for everybody, but in the certain circumstances where it is, it's a great thing to do. But you have to do it right. You have to make sure that the property, the proceeds are placed with a qualified intermediary, and then you identify a property within 45 days of the close and actually close on that property within 180 days. There's also some other great tax vehicles that are out there. There's Delaware Statutory Trust, where if you don't want to be a landlord, you can get involved in these different, I would like to refer to them as almost real estate partnerships is an easy way to kind of give you an idea of what they are. The problem is that you have to be independently financially sound. This can't be your only asset. But there's a lot of different things that are out there that we can help people, you know, hold on to as much of their equity in their home as possible, not having to give over too much to Uncle Sam and Governor Hochul.
Yeah, well, that's the idea. If you want to schedule an appointment with us, if you own real estate and you want to figure out what we want to do tax-wise or what you want to do tax-wise so that your heirs pay the least amount of taxes we need to pay legally, because we don't want more going to the government than it has to be. I mean, I don't think the government does a good job with their money. I know there's some people out there that disagree, but not too many of our clients.
Thankfully, not too many of our clients. And those people that think that the government is very good with their money, I'd like to, I guess, understand better where they're coming from, because I haven't seen that.
All right. Well, we need to take a short break, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes with Monsignor Lapinto from Catholic Charities of Brooklyn and Queens.
How can I protect my family if something happens to me?
What if I need to go to a nursing home? What will happen to our savings, our home?
What's the best way to give my home to my kids?
Who will help us take care of Grandpa?
These and many other questions can be answered with a phone call to Connors & Sullivan Attorneys at Law, PLLC, 718-238-6500. Mike Connors, one of New York Magazine's top lawyers, has over 30 years of estate planning and elder law experience. Mike and his team of professionals will help you protect your assets from probate, taxes, and nursing home costs so you can have peace of mind knowing you and your family will be taken care of and protected.
I'm Mike Connors, founder of Connors & Sullivan. People don't plan to fail, they fail to plan. The time to plan is now.
I'm Beth Connors. Call today for a free initial consultation with one of our experienced lawyers.
Connors and Sullivan in Brooklyn, Queens, Manhattan, and Staten Island. Call 718-238-6500. 718-238-6500 or ConnorsandSullivan.com.
If you're a homeowner age 62 or older and are finding it harder to pay off debt, or how about enjoying your retirement years with less stress? A home equity conversion mortgage may be the answer for you and your family. Hi, this is Frank Melia, a certified mortgage planner, and I've helped countless homeowners all over the tri-state area tap into a little or a lot of their home equity so they can use it right now. Give me a call so our team here at Contour Mortgage can show you how the loan program works and how much you and your family may qualify for. My job is to help you find the best solution for your retirement goals. I do this by educating homeowners with straightforward information and answers. It's free to call and speak with me, Frank Melia, to determine if this mortgage program might be able to help you and your loved ones now. Call and speak with me. I'll answer your questions and help you decide if a reverse mortgage is right for you and your family. Make the call now, 888-954-7463. Once again, that's 888-954-7463, and you could be on your way to a better retirement. Frank Melia, NMLS number 62591, Contour Mortgage Corporation, NMLS number 34384, 990 Stewart Avenue, Suite 660, Garden City, New York, 11530, licensed mortgage banker, New York State Department of Financial Services.
Do you have somewhere to sleep? Did you eat today? Are you making ends meet? For thousands of New Yorkers, the answer is no. For children and youth, adults, seniors, people struggling with addiction or mental illness, and for the isolated, Catholic Charities of Brooklyn and Queens is there. With 160 programs and more than 4,500 units of affordable housing, Catholic Charities is one of the largest multi-service charitable organizations in the nation. We help change lives and build communities. If you or someone you know needs assistance, call 718-722-6001 or visit ccbq.org.
Time now for Connor's Corner, where Mike takes a closer look at topics like history, politics, religion, and more. Here's Mike.
Welcome to the Connor's Corner segment of Ask the Lawyer. You know, charitable giving is part of the mission here, and we're very fortunate to have Monsignor Lapinto, Director of Catholic Charities of Brooklyn and Queens. Of course, we've had Marty Golden on a couple of weeks ago, but Monsignor, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike.
All right. What kind of programs are you guys involved in? And I know it's too numerous to mention, but if you give the audience an idea.
As you know, being a trustee of charities, we have about 160 sites throughout Brooklyn and Queens. Mental health, we've just started a new initiative in mental health. This is our 125th year, is our anniversary. Founded in 1899. And started out as primarily working with children, in the care of the children, because many children back then were abandoned. And we were also very involved from day one with immigrants and helping the different immigrant communities. Today, we're very much around issues with seniors. We have 24 senior residences at this point, and with any good luck, we will break ground for a new facility, a new senior building, in April of this year. 140 units of senior housing in Brownsville, an area that is desperately in need of senior housing. And in that building, there'll be a senior center that will be built in, which again adds to the, how can I put it, it adds to the social component, because it's never enough to just have a roof over people's head at that age. They need the social supports. They need the camaraderie of other people. And they need access to services. You know, and so that's what's built in. That is, I say, one of the more important pieces of what we're doing. We're hoping, we keep our fingers crossed, we're hoping to open a new mental health clinic in Jamaica, on Jamaica Avenue. We're just waiting for the Department of Buildings to issue the CFO, because the building's already open, and that will be providing mental health services to adults and children. There'll be a whole section of that building that will be providing care for children. We're coming to understand That is a growing need. In matter of fact, at this point, we're in a few of the schools from the Department of Education where we've been brought in Maspeth, I think one of the schools here in Brooklyn, where we're providing mental health services for young people on the site. The figures are staggering when you look at the numbers, and particularly teenagers, because you're seeing a very high rate of suicide in that age group, and a lot of mental health issues that are manifesting themselves. The other big thing we're working on is the drug addiction, and really coming up with programs to educate people to recognize, you know, the addiction. We, last year, for the opening of the Catholic schools, we actually did a video presentation that was offered in the Catholic schools for the parents to, again, recognize stress in the life of their children. We just started a program where, as part of the 125th year, we have developed a number of webinars that we're offering to the priests of the diocese. The first one of those is around recognizing mental health needs in your community, and then gave them numbers, phone numbers, that they can use to access services for people from their parish. The next one will be on the opioid crisis, which is, again, off the charts when you look, particularly with the fentanyl and other things of that. So that one will come. And then there'll be another one after that that will deal with recognizing loneliness among the seniors in your community. Because we know that one of the things that has really started to show itself as a result of the COVID experience is how many of the seniors are living in depression and having to struggle with that. And so that's part of it. And we're actually, in our senior buildings, we're building those support services in place for them. So that, again, we can create, as I say, a community experience where they have a support system and where, again, we would understand, this is where staff is being trained, to understand the complexity of gerontology. How do you deal with an older person? How do you recognize that someone is having, you know, an issue with their aging? And a lot of this, people are living longer, but they're living by themselves a lot longer. And so the loneliness part of it is very, I think, who is it? The state has engaged Dr. Ruth, I think, as the state person for dealing with loneliness among the elderly. It's an issue.
Well, it's different nowadays. First of all, people are scattered all over the country. You know, even when I'm talking to clients, I got one son in California, daughter in Florida, you know, son in Texas, and people don't live in the same place where they grew up anymore.
No, there's not that proximity of family. And as they age, a lot of the friends are already passed on, you know. And so it's again, people that you depended on, that you related with, are not there anymore. And so you have to help them to find new social connections in order to keep their mental health and physical health, because the two are connected. You know, if you have a mental health problem, more than likely you have a physical health problem also, you know. And so you want to make sure that those connections are made. And we were very fortunate this past season. We had interns from downstate, intern nurses who came and worked in the buildings, providing medical help for the thing, testing, you know, blood pressure, diabetes, all of that stuff. So, I mean, that's important because, again, you have to be able to treat the whole person.
Of course, I know you have a home for homeless veterans.
We do have apartments.
Apartments, okay.
That we've made available for homeless veterans. We have now probably in one building in our caring community, which is the buildings we operate for the formerly homeless. We have, I think, five or six of those at this point. And when we started a major renovation of those buildings, we made sure that we set aside a certain number of the apartments that would be made available to veterans who are living in the streets. We have a very close and working relationship with the Veterans Administration at this point. So they provide, matter of fact, they just did a training for the staff of charities in understanding the veterans, particularly the homeless veterans, and the issues that many of them are dealing with. Many of them come home, and because of what they experienced, they're living with the post-traumatic stress, but they're also living with horrors that really mess up your head, you know? And many of them come back with, unfortunately, some, I shouldn't say many, some come back with drug addictions, you know, compensating for the physical pain that they were exposed to, and you know, so it's a very challenging area, you know.
You know, I once talked to a military chaplain, military 30 years, and I asked him, why are veterans now having more problems? And he was saying, well, back in World War II, veterans came back to their family. They had a social structure. They were heroes.
Yeah.
And it was a lot easier for them to adapt to their problems because they came back to their family. Now they come back, their spouse, maybe they're divorced, maybe, you know, their parents are divorced.
In many cases, they come back, Mike, isolated.
Yes.
You know, and it's not that the family isn't there. It's just that the internal that they bring back with them isolates them, because they saw horrors that human people should not see. And in many of the cases, they were in environments where they were targets. People weren't waving flags and opening their arms to embrace them. They were sighting them in their snipers and shooting at them. They saw their comrades blown up through the IEDs that were put in the road. I mean, they saw things that, again, you would not see. You have to also remember it's a different population that is going in. See? When you had, but World War II, you had draft. And so everybody went. It's a volunteer army now. Very different scene. A lot of the people who are going because it's an escape route from an intolerable situation that they might be living with. And they're given great dreams as to what they're going to be provided with. In some cases, it works. But in some cases, they're already fragile when they go. And then when they see what's there and experience that, it just blows their minds, you know? Yeah. So it's a very, again, the world changes, and it changes more rapidly now than it did in the past. And so you have these situations that are arising now that, you know, were not there in the past, you know? And so, again, you know, people came back from World War II. They were greeted with parades. These people come back. They're lucky if there's somebody there to say hello, thank you for having served the country in that fashion.
Now, there's no question about that. The support is totally different.
Yeah.
So let's go back a minute. 125 years ago, who was the bishop then? Do you know?
I think it was Bishop Lachlan.
Bishop Lachlan, okay.
I think it was still at that time. Yeah, And again, it grew out of the experience of the diocese, which at that point, even more so than today, was almost a completely immigrant population, you know, that was being served. And a population that exactly wasn't welcomed and embraced by the people who were here. So again, the church played a very critical role in creating communities of support, you know, and as I say, in particular for the children, many of the children, people died much earlier. And a lot of times the children were left abandoned. And so that became a big part of the early work of Catholic Charities, was the care of children.
Well, orphanages, that's not something we have foster homes today, but...
Yes, orphanages were, and we had the good fortune of having the Sisters of Mercy, who had that mission, the Sisters of St. Joseph, which had that mission, and many of them, again, took great care of the children, the Dominican sisters. I mean, we were very blessed in this diocese because, and Charities was very populated by religious women who were very much part of that. I mean, the Daughters of Charity were another big group that was not only very present here, but actually throughout the Charities movement in this country. The Daughters of Charity were a very big part and kind of the other side of the Vincentians, and so they play a big role. But it was a different time and different needs. Today, the needs are more challenging than they were, because a lot of the times the people we're dealing with don't have the community support. I mean, back then, you want to call them ghettos, we all grew up in ghettos, in the sense of national communities. And so you had the support of the neighbors, who basically came out of the same culture you came from. There were shared values. There was a shared way of life. People watched out one for another. I remember growing up where I grew up in what was an Italian community in East New York. There was an old man who used to sit out on his stoop every day and watch over us as we came home from school and played. And if you messed up, when your dad would come home, he'd still be sitting out there and say, hey, you know what? But it was a way of maintaining a sense of order, which you don't have today. There are not many communities of order. And you see that with the rampant violence that's being manifested in so many different areas. So I think those are all things that have to come into play. And somehow we at Charities try to come to grips with those things in as many ways as we can by trying to create wholesome communities in which people have the opportunity to live with safety and security and supports.
Now I'm going to ask what to you may sound like a stupid question, but if somebody needs help from Catholic Charities, they don't have to be Catholic.
Nope. We never asked that question. I just did an orientation the other day for new employees, and that was one of my main points. I'm not going to ask any of you what your religious background is or not, but I tell you, look at the mission. We are an extension of the work of Jesus. That's what we're about. But we don't ever ask the question of what faith you are or what faith you might not, again, but we see you as a human person and we see you as a child of God, and our role is to help you through the struggles of your life at this point and to give you the skills you need to be able to manage your life for yourself, because we don't want to be your crutch and we don't want to do for you what you are capable of doing for yourself, because that's part of our job, is to help you build your own human dignity in community with other people. And if I do everything for you, you become a ward. And as a ward, you just don't have the internal recognition of yourself as a human person with dignity and capable of managing your life. And that's critical. So that's a bit of what we do, in the sense of that's at the heart of what we do, really, in every situation. And we keep building that into the minds of the staff we have. And we have a very diverse staff. You know, we probably have A to Z by way of employees. You know, but that's healthy because they reflect the community in which we live.
Now, I just want to say something maybe a little partisan or parochial, but some people, again, they come into my office and say, well, I'm doing a will, I want to leave something to Catholic Charities. And they don't have a clear distinction between Catholic Charities of the New York Archdiocese and Brooklyn and Queens. So maybe you can just, what is Brooklyn and Queens?
Brooklyn and Queens, Brooklyn and Queens has a long history. Okay, we were founded in the 1850s when the recognition in Rome was that this area was growing. And so Brooklyn was cut off from the Archdiocese of New York. Queens emerged because Queens was primarily farmland back in its day. Queens emerged, and also Nassau and Suffolk became part of the Diocese of Brooklyn. It wasn't until 1957, with the death of Archbishop Molloy, that Rome decided to split Brooklyn.
So I didn't realize, 1957.
1957, so it became Brooklyn and Queens, the only totally urban diocese in the world. And Rockville Centers was created with Nassau and Suffolk. So that's why Brooklyn is very unique. We're still the diocese of the immigrants, and we're the only urban diocese in the whole world, which people don't understand. The Archdiocese of New York is only three counties of the city of New York.
Right, and it goes into upstate, Dutchess County,
and so forth. When you look at the population of the city of New York, the bulk of the population of the city of New York lives here in Brooklyn and Queens. Probably six plus million out of a population of 8.5 million. They live here. We also have probably the representation equal to the UN in the number of different national and ethnic groups that are here. In any given Sunday, the Diocese of Brooklyn operates in 20-plus languages. Yeah, most of our parishes at this point are bilingual, many trilingual parishes. You know? Oh, very challenging place.
Yeah. You know, my parish, which is Our Lady of Angels, my understanding is attendance was going down for quite a while, but now our attendance is going up dramatically.
Standing room only at your Spanish Mass.
Right. And obviously I think that's good for the church.
It's great for the church. If people come out of Catholic background and they look for the church. I mean, we're seeing that with the asylum seekers. You know, we're the first places they're going. They look for where the cross is. And that's where they go ring the doorbell to see what help they can get. And thank God we've got the ability, Charities has got the ability, working with the parishes, to provide that support and assistance to them. We have a number of parishes that are actually providing hot meals. You know, I was at one place recently in Jamaica, Pius V, which has 5 days a week, breakfast and lunch for the asylum seekers, prepared by the asylum seekers themselves who work the kitchen. And so again, you see the potential that's there, but they know that the place that they can feel secure is in the church. And so they come. And our doors are open to them, you know, and we'll give them whatever support we can within the means that are available to us.
So let's follow up. Where can somebody learn more about Catholic Charities?
Well, they can go to our website, which is ccbq.org, O-R-G. And if they go to the website, they'll see everything about charities. If they have an issue and they're needing assistance, they should call our help center, which is 718-722-6001.
You may want to repeat that again.
718-722-6001.
Now, let's just say we have a senior in need of housing. Where do they ask for help? I know it's a tough situation, but
it's a very tough situation. I'll give you an example. The most recent building we finished up in Astoria with 105 units of housing, senior housing. We had 26,000 applicants. For every building, there's a waiting list at this point, and the waiting list is usually 1,000 plus in every situation. But people have to win. When we open a building, announcements go out. The announcements go out in the secular press as well as through the parishes, and people are invited to put in an application. They have to qualify, because these are all subsidized units of housing. And then we collect all the applicants that have applied. The city then comes and monitors us as we do a lottery. So they all go in a big barrel, and then you pull out. And as I say, they stand there to make sure that you don't finagle any of that. And then as the names are pulled out, they're given a number. And that's how the people are notified, you know, as to where they are in the system, in the sense of if they're number one and it's a new building with new apartments, they stand a great chance of being able to get that apartment. But if they're number 500 and you only have 120 units, they go on a waiting list. The waiting list, as I say, the thing is that people need to get on those lists as early as possible, because the lists do turn over. But we have at this point probably a 1% vacancy rate a year in all of our buildings. We have people who have been in our building since they opened who are now in their hundreds. You know, that's what makes it so challenging, and you can't build fast enough to take care of what the need is out there.
How many units again do you have, or how many buildings?
There are 24. A 25th, as I say, should see the shovels in the dirt by this spring. And in total, we have over 4,000 units of senior housing. In addition to that, we have the housing for the caring communities, which are people who are formerly homeless, some of whom are elderly. I would say in total at this point, between all the different categories of housing, probably over 5,000 units of housing. We're the largest provider of affordable senior housing in the city of New York at this point.
Let me ask you something. Are you people who want a vocation, where would they send their resumes? You're always in need of good people.
We're desperate need of quality people. And what they could do is they go on the website, they see what the openings are, what are the jobs we're recruiting for. They'd send their application to 191 Joralemon Street, Brooklyn, New York. But they'll see all that information is on the website.
And where you can make donations is on the website.
You can make donations on the website also.
Okay. And
you can go to your attorney and, put us in your will.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's one thing. A lot of our clients are real estate rich and cash poor. And they really can't afford to make donations or much in donations while they're alive. But in a lot of those cases, they leave $1 million, $2 million. They live in some parts of Brooklyn,
right.
$3-4 million houses. Small percentage to charity can go a long way.
Yep. Yep. They certainly could include us, and many do include us in their wills, you know. Some for small amounts, some for larger amounts. Some would benefit from understanding by donating their real estate. There are advantages to be gotten while they're even alive. Because there are such things, as you know, Michael, charitable remainder trusts and different things of that they can make use of.
And especially, I mean, we're talking maybe about people with a little bit more money, but if you're single in New York State and you have roughly a $7 million estate, New York State is out to get you. And in some cases, a $100,000 donation to charity in your will could save you $200,000 in taxes.
Mm-hmm.
I know the math sounds crazy, but if you're in that situation, we can talk to you about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. One last, if you can give the website one last time, because people have had a chance.
The website is, it's Catholic Charities, Brooklyn at ccbq.org.
Okay.
You might have to check that, because sometimes.
All right. We'll check it out. Monsignor, thank you very much for stopping by today. It's
thank
good
you
to
for
see
having
you.
Me,
good
Mike.
To see you.
It's always a delight to be with you and the family here.
Do you have somewhere to sleep? Did you eat today? Are you making ends meet? For thousands of New Yorkers, the answer is no. For children and youth, adults, seniors, people struggling with addiction or mental illness, and for the isolated, Catholic Charities of Brooklyn and Queens is there. With 160 programs and more than 4,500 units of affordable housing, Catholic Charities is one of the largest multi-service charitable organizations in the nation. We help change lives and build communities. If you or someone you know needs assistance, call 718-722-6001 or visit ccbq.org.
I'm in a good place in my life.
And I'm energized by new adventures.
I've got friends to laugh with.
And a good relationship.
But even though I'm kind of comfortable,
I sometimes wonder, is there something more?
Could God and church be what you're looking for? Come and see at CatholicsComeHome.com.
Do you know how many Christians live in the Middle East? 6 million people. Do you know how many Christians need your help? Every single one. Do you know what we can do? With St. Francis in Beirut, we can give them hope. We can give them medicines. We can give them medical equipment. We can give them everything they're looking for. Because some others decided to remove Christianity from the Middle East. But if we will help them every single day, not just to feed them or clothing, it's all about giving them another day with the idea that they are recognized, that we love them, they're our cousins, sisters, they're our roots. So St. Francis in Beirut, it's all about helping Christians. And you can be part of that help too.
If you want to help Father Paul in his mission, send your donations to St. Francis in Beirut, 213 Stanton Street, New York, New York, 10002.
How can I protect my family if something happens to me?
What if I need to go to a nursing home? What will happen to our savings, our home?
What's the best way to give my home to my kids?
Who will help us take care of Grandpa?
These and many other questions can be answered with a phone call to Connors & Sullivan Attorneys at Law, PLLC, 718-238-6500. Mike Connors, one of New York Magazine's top lawyers, has over 30 years of estate planning and elder law experience. Mike and his team of professionals will help you protect your assets from probate, taxes, and nursing home costs so you can have peace of mind knowing you and your family will be taken care of and protected.
I'm Mike Connors, founder of Connors & Sullivan. People don't plan to fail, they fail to plan. The time to plan is now.
I'm Beth Connors. Call today for a free initial consultation with one of our experienced lawyers.
Connors and Sullivan in Brooklyn, Queens, Manhattan, and Staten Island. Call 718-238-6500, 718-238-6500, or connorsandsullivan.com.
Welcome back to Ask the Lawyer with me, Mike Connors, now accompanied by my wife, Beth.
Hi, everybody.
And my son, Michael.
Hello, everyone.
You know, Catholic Charities, keep it in mind. And if you have a plan to leave something to Catholic Charities, you can give us a call at Connors & Sullivan at 718-238-6500. 718-238-6500. We have offices in Brooklyn, Queens, Staten Island, and Manhattan. We do not charge for the first appointment. The first appointment is free because there's no one right answer for everybody. Some of you out there, you know, you have children you can trust. Some of you don't. Some of you have millions of dollars worth of assets and we want to save in taxes. Some of you, you know, may have $50,000 in the bank and you want to save it from a nursing home. I don't care where you fit in that spectrum. If you want to come in and talk it over with us, please feel free to schedule an appointment. If you specifically want to see me in the appointment, don't be shy. Just ask to see me at the appointment. Go ahead, Beth. You have something to say?
Well, yeah, because the other day, what happens if someone is homebound, you know, and they can't come into the office?
Well, I may not be able to see you at your houses right now, but we would send one of the other attorneys out.
If there's an emergency, we can help.
Right. And then I can always talk on the phone or whatever.
Right, right.
I don't like Zoom particularly, but in some cases we can use the Zoom. Again, we have an office in Brooklyn, Queens, Staten Island, and Manhattan. And, you know, we are going to be doing seminars next month. We'll get the schedule out next week and say where we're going to be. Where we're going to be in Brooklyn, Queens, and Staten Island. Doing seminars in the end of April, and we'll give you the times and places next week. We're doing a little final tinkering here and there. And if you can't make it to the seminar, we do have a seminar that's on YouTube, but it's a little outdated, not that much. Most of the basic facts are the same. Some of the numbers change over the years. And Michael, where can they get that?
If you want to get the Connors and Sullivan video seminar, you go to youtube.com. And you're just going to type into the search bar there, Connors and Sullivan Video Seminar, Connors spelled C-O-N-N-O-R-S. You should see a nice long video right there at the top with Dad on it, and go ahead and give it a listen. But like we said, we're probably going to look into updating that sometime soon.
Okay, and meanwhile, Michael, what languages do we speak at the office? Because, you know, obviously you listen to the radio station, you speak English fluently, but you may have some friends or relatives that not fluent in English. We have quite a few people speak a lot of different languages out here.
All right, so in the office we have English, Spanish, Italian, Greek, Russian, Ukrainian, Polish, Romanian, Mandarin, Cantonese, Fujianese, Tagalog, and Hindi.
All right, so, you know, if you have anybody that's more comfortable in those languages, and of course a lot of people go back and forth, you know, they make one comment in English, one comment in another language, more than welcome to do that. And again, if you want to schedule an appointment, we're available. Give us a call at 718-238-6500. 718-238-6500. Thank you for listening to Ask the Lawyer. We'll be back here next week at the same time and places.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Heads bowed down. We're gathered here on hallowed ground to sing this song away.
We are gathered here
on hallowed ground. Voices raised, heads bowed down. We're gathered here on hallowed ground to sing this song away.
Kevin McCullough, are you or your parents' assets protected from nursing home bills? Did you know these bills can exceed $15,000 a month? People work their entire lives to live comfortably in retirement, but when people become ill and need to go to a nursing home or receive home care, the bills can drain their assets, leaving many people bankrupt. The good news is that you can prevent that from happening if you plan in advance. Connors and Sullivan's lawyers can customize a plan that specifically protects your interests, including your home. Schedule a free comprehensive telephone consultation with Mike Connors to discuss your issues and concerns from the security of your home. Call today, 718-238-6500, 718-238-6500. Don't let nursing home bills take your life's savings and leave you and your loved ones bankrupt. Don't wait another minute. Mike Connors can take you through the process by telephone and start a plan designed for you today. That's 718-238-6500. 718-238-6500.
The preceding pre-recorded program paid for by Connors and Sullivan Attorneys at Law, PLLC.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.